Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is our daily devotional for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. And I am delighted to be with you today. I'm here in the sanctuary. It's a little bit quieter to record and in this portion of our facilities. Plus, it's nice to just come in here and spend time in here every once in a while. So, it's good to be with you, and I hope that your week has been speeding along nicely. And again, it's Wednesday. Extend the invitation again if you're local in our area and you'd like to come by for our prayer meeting and Bible study. We start at 6:45 and end at 7:30, so not a huge time commitment, but we would absolutely love to have you. Now, to what we're dealing with today. You know, yesterday I tried to spend a lot of time stressing the importance of Genesis chapter 3, how fundamental it is to helping us understand who God is and who we are and how God works and also how the devil works. And I said chapter 3 of Genesis is so important, in fact, that if you get it wrong, if you miss it, then you're probably not going to get anything else right when it comes to understanding God and the universe and how we work. The reason I said that is just again because of the gravity of what we find here. If you're unfamiliar entirely, then you don't know, but if you are the slightest bit familiar, then you know that chapter 3, there's different, maybe your Bible has a little nifty subheadings like mine does. Mine says the fall of man. In other words, it is in chapter 3 that we see where all the problems really started. And again, we get a lesson about who the devil is and how the devil works. And yesterday, we just made it through the first few verses of Genesis, but that was enough to see that the devil worked not by these grandiose gestures telling Eve to do something that we would brand satanic, something crazy. No, in fact, we see that satanic is really found in nuance. It's in lies, because he's the father of lies. But it's also in suggestion. And ultimately, Satanism is found in questioning the word of God. For isn't that what we saw yesterday in this interaction between Eve and the serpent? We talked about the serpent being made. That's right, he's not like God. He is a creature. The devil is a creature. And that's why Michael the archangel ultimately will be dispatched to deal with him. But nevertheless, what we see from him is questioning God's word, saying, did God really say this? And giving the suggestion that God's word either isn't true or is too much or is based on God being jealous or wanting to hold us down. And all the things that, though this was millennia ago when this happened and certainly when this was written, y'all, it still applies to today. The devil's number one tactic is to question the word of God. And so our calling should be obvious from that, and that is to be people of the word of God, because God's word is sufficient. Now, what's interesting is that's what we saw yesterday in terms of who the devil is and how the devil works. But today, we put our finger on something. We've talked about sinful nature, but today we put our finger on the very core of our sinful nature. What is it? Why do we have that inclination, that tilt? What does it come down to? Well, we find out today, and again, we're in Genesis chapter 3, but before we read anything, let's pray, because we need the Lord's help, but let's go to Him. Our God and our Father, as we come to Your Word again in this ever so important chapter, we pray that You would guide us in this time, that we would see what You would have us to, that we would understand it, that we would be convicted by it and stand up to the devil's wiles and also to the old one that is within us, struggling to lead us to sin instead of living in the freedom bought for us and given to us by Jesus Christ. So please work in our hearts now and guide us by Your Holy Spirit. And we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so the last time we were together yesterday, we really only made it through the first three verses. So I want to read those again to set up where we're going, because we're picking up today in verse 4. But Genesis 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." Now, we saw the suggestion and a hint of the lie, but now we see the outright lie. But more than seeing the devil, we see who we are and what I'm about to read next, what we must battle against, who we are apart from Christ, that is. Verse 4, how would the devil respond to Eve's statement? Verse 4, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." Yesterday, we talked a lot about the suggestion that God's word is not trustworthy, is not true. Today, we see the outright lie that God said, if you eat from this tree, the day you do it, that's death. Death is the sentence, and it is coming if you do this. Of course, I'm paraphrasing there. But what does Satan say? God said, you're going to die if you eat this. Verse 4, you will not surely die. This gets down to the heart of who Satan is. He is a liar. He takes that which is good and true. We've talked about this the last couple of Sunday mornings. He takes that which is good and that which is true, and he warps it, and he twists it, and he distorts it for his own purpose to steal your joy, to steal your soul, if possible, if you don't belong to the Lord, to steal you away. And he knows if you do belong to the Lord, he can't have you, but he can render you ineffective. He can render you just to the point that you're so bogged down in sinfulness that your testimony becomes next to worthless. That's what the devil wants to do with Christians because he knows he can't have you. The good shepherd hangs on to you, but he does want to render you completely ineffective. But it doesn't matter. The end is always the truth. What the devil always does is the same. He's always a liar, flat out attacking God's word. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. But that's what the devil does. Again, what's more important here for us to see is not just how the devil operates. What's important for us to see is our bent, our natural inclination. Verse 5, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." Now, y'all, here's the thing. It's at this point, like I said, Adam did not fulfill his responsibility to tend and protect the garden. He should have ejected the serpent immediately. Eve, as his helper, also bore some responsibility, though not the same as Adam. The task was his. But nevertheless, immediately that should have been the interjection here. Wait a second. I know God. We find out later that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening, this beautiful, wonderful relationship that is a picture of what our relationship with God is going to be like in glory and in heaven. But instead of doing that, what did Eve do? Verse 6, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." Now, pausing right there for a second, again, the idea that Adam is nowhere to be found and he finds out about this later is not true. He's there with her. He sees all of this going on. Again, he fails in his responsibility. But y'all, there's two things that are revealed there. First, how our desire works. Think about what Eve noticed. Again, verse 6, she saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom. Let me ask you something. How much of the world is sold based on these ideas? That, hey, it looks good, and it sounds good, and it's going to make you happy, healthy, and wise, and so you should do it. Now, this gets down to the core of who we are and how we operate. Nothing has changed with that. But the deeper thing is this. Y'all, you want to know what the problem is with humanity? You want to know what's at the very core of our sinfulness? It's not the act Okay, because let's be honest, there's lots and lots of ways that we can sin, either by doing that which we shouldn't do, you know, breaking an outright commandment, or by leaving undone the things that we ought to do. But what is at the core of this, what's at the very bottom of it all, is what we've just read. Because you see, of all the ways that the devil could tempt Adam and Eve, the way that he tempted Eve was by saying, don't listen to God. We've talked about that, questioning God's word. But then with the follow-up, that the only reason God is saying this to you is, if you do this, you'll be just like him. Y'all, at the core of our problem is not the desire to just disobey God and do our own thing. At the core of our problem is the desire to be God, to be the one that ultimately determines what's good and what's not good, what's beneficial, what's not beneficial, what we do, what we don't do. That is at the absolute core of who you and I are. The bells are going off right now in the church. I should have thought about that before I started recording this. But running with this idea, the idea that the core of who we are is not just the event, not just the sin, not just the particular temptation, that the core is our desire to be like God, it goes down to one thing. We want to be in charge. And we don't want to be accountable to anyone but ourselves. Isn't that the message of the world around you? What does the world say all the time? Be true to yourself. Follow your heart. If it feels good, do it. Follow your happiness. So, y'all, the world is trying to sell you a philosophy that everything exists just for you. When in reality, we do not belong to ourselves. God is the creator. We are the created. God has dominion over us, his people. And that's the thing that we strike against when we sin. That's at the real core of our problem. We don't want to be held accountable to God. Now, rewinding to some of the stuff that we previously talked about, whether it's God's word being called into question by the devil and his people, or the whole issue of creation. Why do you think God has been removed as creator? Ultimately, it gets down to what we've just read here in Genesis chapter 3. The reason that people want to remove all thought of God, A, or B, turn Jesus into this light and the loafer, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, would never judge anybody sort of savior, is for the same reason. The end result is the same, that we're accountable to nobody but ourselves. Satan knew that was Eve's proclivity. He knew that's what Eve, he knew that was the best way to tempt Eve. And Eve had never sinned. But what he chose to tempt her with is, hey, if you do this, forget about God being in charge. You'll be in charge. You'll know. You don't need him for anything. And isn't that what the world says? Isn't that what the devil is still trying to sell out there? That you don't really need God? My friends, this is important stuff. And as I said yesterday, if you get this wrong, you're not going to get anything else right. And getting this wrong looks like lots of things. It looks like denying God. It also looks like this faulty philosophy of the world that we're all born either basically good or we're born tabula rosa as a blank slate and we're just a product of nurture and we don't have a sin problem. And wrong, y'all. Wrong. We have a sin problem. We sin because we are sinners. All right? And we're sinners because we sin, but at our core, the core of identity, our identity is sinners, those rebelling against God. And that's what this is here, you see. Yes, I know there was fruit involved. Yes, I know the actual physical command was eating the forbidden fruit. True. But at the core, at the motivation, is rebellion If you were with us this past Sunday, you know that part of our time in our Sunday morning service was getting away from Ezra chapter 5 and actually going to 1 Samuel 15, that great passage where Samuel the prophet is informed that Saul has broken God's command to destroy the Amalekites. Samuel then goes to Saul's camp. He finds out Saul's already built an altar to himself. We have that famous line where Saul shows up and says, "Oh, may the Lord bless you. I followed the Lord's command." Samuel's reply is, "What then is this bleating of sheep and lowing of cattle in my ears?" Saul didn't follow God's command. Then Saul went on this reasoning pathway. "Oh, no, the only reason I kept the animals, I'm going to sacrifice them to God." But Samuel already knows he's built the altar to himself. Nevertheless, Samuel makes this wonderful statement that to obey is better than to sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams offered up to God. Obey first. Don't disobey and then ask for forgiveness later. To obey is better. And then he tells Saul that Saul's guilty of the sin of rebellion, which is like divination. It's like witchcraft. It's satanic. It gets down to the very core of our first sin through our first parents, that it was ultimate rebellion against God. Now, what do we do about this? Well, when you sin, first off, you ask for forgiveness and you repent. And then you make sure that you're trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, realizing that in life, the Lord does this wonderful work for us and that he's doing the best he can. He makes us like himself. It's the best thing he can possibly do. Then that work is completed in heaven, in glory. But in the meantime, we're to live a life of repentance and we're to recognize our natural tilt to want to do things our way instead of God's way, our natural tilt to want to be the masters of our own destiny. And doesn't that sound marvelous? Certainly it does. The problem is it makes us God, not God. So in recognizing these things, let me encourage you. This is our thought for today, and with this, I'm done, and we'll pick up tomorrow and see the aftermath. But y'all, the thought for the day, the devotional thought for today is to make sure that you are trusting in the Lord. As Aristotle said, know thyself, know your tilt. And it's not just yours, it's mine too. Know your tilt to rebel. And stand up to it, trusting in Christ instead. And also remember what the devil does. Oh, he's a master of lies. He's the father of lies, in fact. Let's stand up to him. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, I thank you for this time and for everybody that is a part of it, whether it's early in the morning or late at night and not even on Wednesday. I don't know when you're going to use this, but I pray that you would. And I pray that you would work in our hearts as a result. And even now, let us see when we are rebelling against you. Please draw us to yourself, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Again, if you're in the area, feel free to come on by. It'd be great to see you. But if not, hopefully we will see you again soon. Take care.